I call this meeting of the House Commerce Committee to order, and the clerk will take the roll.
Chair Stevenson.
Present.
Vice Chair Katiza-Watoon.
Present.
Representative O'Driscoll.
O'Driscoll present.
Representative Barr.
Here.
Representative Carlson.
Carlson present.
Representative Daphne. Representative Elkins.
Present.
Representative Haley.
Present.
Representative Cagle.
Present.
Representative Lee.
Lee present.
Representative Lilly. Representative Lislegard, excused. Representative Lucero.
Present.
Representative Olson. Representative Farr.
Present.
Representative Rasmussen.
Rasmussen present.
Representative Richardson. Representative Tice.
Tice present.
Representative Daphne.
Present.
Representative Lilly. And Representative Olson.
Right, we have a quorum. May I have a motion to approve the minutes for April 7th, 2021?
Madam Chair.
Chair Stevenson.
I would move the minutes.
Right. Chair Stevenson moves approval of the minutes for April 7th, 2021. Members, do we have any discussion to that motion? Hearing none, those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? The motion prevails and the minutes for April 7th, 2021 are approved. Today, members, we have House File 2366. Chair Stevenson, would you like to go ahead and move your bill?
Yes, Madam Chair, I would move House File 2366 be recommended to be referred to the Rules Committee.
Okay. Chair Stevenson moves that House File 2366 be recommended to be referred to the Committee on Rules. To your bill, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Members, House File 2366 relates to the regulation of e-pull tabs. Members will recall that e-pull tabs were first authorized in 2012 as part of the deal to fund construction of a new stadium for the Minnesota Vikings. Now, I wasn't in the legislature at the time, but I do recall that part of the deal that was negotiated between the various interested parties is that these e-pull tabs would not mimic slot machines. Instead, e-pull tabs were supposed to look like normal pull tabs, just on electronic screen. In the years that followed, e-pull tabs have steadily evolved to the point that they look much different today than what was initially contemplated. They are far more interactive, far more animated, far more complex. To me, there is no question that the games that are being played today are far outside the scope of the deal that was negotiated in 2012, and that's wrong. I introduced this bill, and I'm asking this committee to consider it today, because I think it is important for the state to honor the deal that it made. I think we should always uphold our end of the negotiation, but I think it's particularly important for us to honor and keep the promises that we make to our tribal governments in recognition of the long history that our government has of failing to keep its promises in treaties and otherwise with the indigenous people in our country. I do recognize that e-pull tabs have become a very successful enterprise. And this bill has a significant ramification for our charities as well as our bars and restaurants. And I don't take that lightly, particularly because, and I want to be clear about this, the bars and the charities have done nothing wrong here. They didn't design these games. They didn't approve these games. They didn't write the law. And our charities and bars are important members of our community. This committee values them. Our communities value them. And it's obvious also that the last 12 months have been incredibly difficult for them. And we're obviously also not out of the woods yet. And that's why the very first bill that this committee considered was Representative Katiza-Watoon's excellent bill to cap the fees on delivery for our bars and restaurants. And in recognition of the difficult time that we're facing right now, I want to offer the A1 amendment. Madam Chair, I would move the A1 amendment.
Chair Stevenson moves the author's amendment A1 to get the bill in the shape that he would like our committee to consider today. Members, do we have any discussion to that motion?
And Madam Chair, if I can explain the A1 amendment. This amendment sets the effective date of the bill for September 6, 2022. That's almost 18 months from now. It's the day after Labor Day of next year. Setting the date out this far is important for two reasons. First, it allows the bars and charities to deal with the COVID-19 pandemic and get their feet back out underneath them before seeing any changes. Second, it gives game developers ample time to develop new games that comply with the law, so that by the time this bill finally goes into effect, there would be a seamless transition from the games that are allowed today to the games that are allowed under the bill. So I'd ask members to support the A1 amendment.
All right, members, any further discussion to the A1 author's amendment? Hearing none, all those in favor, please say aye.
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 Any opposed? The motion prevails and the A1 amendment is adopted. All right, looks like we have Mr. Plato on the line to testify for the bill. Andy Plato, please unmute yourself, introduce yourself, and proceed with your testimony.
Well, thank you very much, Madam Chair, members of the committee. My name is Andy Plato, and I am the executive director of the Minnesota Indian Gaming Association. MIGA is proud to represent all 11 of the state's federally recognized tribal nations. On behalf of the tribes and their leaders, thank you to our author, Chair Stevenson, our co-authors, including Representative Haley, and to the committee for hearing House File 2366 and allowing us the opportunity to comment in support. As the committee heard earlier this session, tribal gaming proceeds essentially serve as the tax base that support tribal members, their government operations, and thousands of employees, mainly in rural Minnesota. The 11 tribal nations are also regional economic engines, are the largest employers in their home counties in all but one instance, and sustain enormous secondary economic activity, benefiting hundreds of thousands of non-tribal members across the state. It's for this reason that since MIGA's creation, it has worked to protect the vitality of the industry by opposing the expansion of off-reservation gaming. In 2012, tribes and their leaders were skeptical when the charitable gambling community asked the legislature to authorize a brand new type of gaming in bars, electronic pull tabs and electronic bingo. Although not all MIGA tribes had agreed at that time, the association took no position and thus did not oppose the authorization of electronic charitable gaming. But it must be stressed that the tribes and other concerned groups conditioned their neutrality on the inclusion of key provisions that explicitly prohibited these games from evolving into slot machines. A bipartisan group of legislators shared the concerns of tribes and other gaming stakeholders and thus insisted the following three provisions be added to the law. The first defined electronic pull tab games as facsimiles of pull tab tickets played on an electronic pull tab device. The second key provision required e-tickets be opened like their paper counterparts, or as the law says, a player must activate or open each electronic pull tab ticket and each individual line, row, or column of each individual electronic pull tab ticket. The third key provision prevents games from including representations that mimic a video slot machine. Please keep in mind, electronic pull tabs and bingo were an emerging technology in 2012 and not available in other markets. In fact, the legislature was faced with the impossible task of defining devices and games using a demonstration model. This one that was offered to both this committee and others as the sole example of the new technology. If today's games looked and functioned like this model, there would be no need for House File 2366. The device displays a facsimile of a paper ticket. It requires players to open each line individually like a paper ticket, and it does not include representations that mimic a video slot machine. Unfortunately, technology has now advanced, and the Minnesota Gambling Control Board has approved games far outside of the 2012 law's intent. Games today can be opened with the press of one button, include animated bonus and free play features, and as you can see, look nothing like the original model or like any paper pull tab or paper bingo game. As the state's foremost experts in video slot machines, tribes and their gaming operators look at electronic pull tabs and bingo games and feel the Gambling Control Board has failed to uphold the legislature's clear policy direction from 2012. That is why the clarifying language in House File 2366 is needed to return games to what the industry promised and the law's intent requires, that electronic games in bars and restaurants cannot look and function like slot machines. There are many interests in Minnesota's gaming sector, the lottery, the charities, the horse tracks, and tribes. Each exists in equilibrium with the others. Expansion of gaming by one can be disruptive to the others. Recently, MIGA has engaged with the Gambling Control Board in an attempt to clarify their interpretation of the law through rulemaking. Director Getman and his staff have indicated certain parts of House File 2366 are not appropriate to address through rules and instead suggested a dual track of clarification both in the statute and in their rules. We appreciate this dialogue and that work is ongoing. I'll close my remarks with a respectful request. Please take a look at the eTab and bingo games offered in your districts and ask any objective constituent. Are these games facsimiles of paper pull tabs and paper bingo, or do they mimic slot machines? If you believe they do, then now is the time to clarify the statute and uphold the state's commitment. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Plato, for your testimony. Next, we'll move on to public testifiers. I do want to remind everybody of the two-minute maximum for your testimony today in today's bonus hearing of the Commerce Committee. We just want to make sure that we have plenty of time for discussion and questions at the end. So first up, I have Mike Jennings. Please introduce yourself and proceed with your testimony.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members of the committee. My name is Mike Jennings, and I'm on the board of the Minnesota Licensed Beverage Association, and I'm also a third-generation bar and restaurant owner. I currently own three restaurants, and pre-pandemic, I employed over 160 employees between the three restaurants. During the last year, as I know all of you know, restaurants have been absolutely a huge gut punch. We've gone from working hard to try to make some money to losing hundreds of thousands of dollars per location. And it's been quite devastating. To give you an idea, our restaurants were down by 48%. And restaurants, as I think anyone can understand, as with most businesses, are not built to survive on 48%. So frankly, the entire industry is struggling immensely. Some of us have actually managed to get to break even, which is, I never thought in my life that breaking even would be a major accomplishment. So one of my restaurants is JJ's Clubhouse. It's located in Golden Valley and has electronic cold tabs. What it's doing is help putting warm behinds in our cold seats, as the saying goes. And, you know, this charity is absolutely fantastic because, the operators, because they generate a lot of money for charities and other nonprofits. And we're very proud to be able to help these people. As we also know, it does support the U.S. Bank stadium financing. So it seems to work pretty well the way it's going right now. But keep in mind, we have a long, long way to go to dig ourselves out of the hole. So the ETAB started 9 years ago, and it's helped produce an additional revenue stream. And as we've looked over, these games have been approved over and over over the years by the Gambling Control Board. And right now, considering changing the rules of the game, we find this to be, it just doesn't make sense. And it's just going to be another devastating blow to our industry. Or in a best case scenario for us, we're just going to have to, it's going to take us even longer to pull ourselves out of the hole. This is really important for us. And most restaurants have been down over 50%. And we just feel that we want you to keep in mind is getting ourselves back to break even also leaves us with hundreds of thousands of dollars of debt. And it's going to take us years, not a year and a half or 2 years. It's going to take us years to get back to where we're at.
Mr. Jennings, thank you so much for sharing your testimony. Can you wrap up, please?
Thank you.
Good. Next, we have Tony Chasek. Please introduce yourself and proceed with your testimony.
Thank you, Chair Stevenson, members of the committee. My name is Tony Chasek. I'm the executive director of the Minnesota Licensed Beverage Association. MLBA represents bars, restaurants, and liquor stores. Been around since about 1953. I'm here to discuss our position regarding House File 2366. Some of you may or may not have been at the legislature 9 years ago, but the MLBA developed a campaign we called Profit Minnesota. This campaign is one of the catalysts that allowed for electronic forms of charitable gambling here in Minnesota, as we've been accustomed to it for the last 8+ years. If you don't know this, the charitable gaming industry and the alcohol industry has had a deeply rooted relationship. The charities bring the games in, our customers enjoy, and the liquor license holders allow this to happen in their spaces. During the last year, our industry is one of the most hardest hit industries in the nation regarding due to COVID-19 and the mandated shutdowns of bars and restaurants as a result. Many of our license holders either went out of business, and those that could hold on saw losses of revenues and jobs. Most saw losses from 40 to 50%. Part of that recovery plan includes charitable gaming, not just for the revenue that the bars and restaurants receive from hosting the charitable games, but also the patronage these games bring in. Part of these games are electronic versions of pull tabs and linked bingo. Both are incredible revenue generators for the bars, charities, state of Minnesota, and the Sports Facility Authority. Our customers love this type of entertainment, and House File 2366 severely harms the playability, will in the end cause customers to not frequent our establishments as much. Timing of this is incredibly troublesome, and even if it's pushed back 18 months, it will still end in the same result. Massive revenue losses for bars, restaurants, charities, and the state of Minnesota. We love our charities and the games they provide our liquor license holders, and so do our millions of customers. Changing the rules now does nothing but harm the industries, and who does it benefit? Who? The question I can't answer, and hopefully somebody can, after 9 years of growth, is why is this being addressed now if all these games have been approved for the last 8+ years? Chair Stevenson, committee members, thank you so much for your time, and I hope you understand the perspective from your retail partners. Take care and have a great day. Thanks, guys.
Thank you, Mr. Chesick. Next is Jake Grossel. Please introduce yourself and proceed with your testimony.
My name is Jake Grassel. I represent Citizens Against Gambling Expansion. Thank you for having me today. I'm here today to speak in favor of House File 2366. I thank the chairman and his co-sponsors for bringing this bipartisan bill forward. If you've been on social media sites in the past 6 months, you've likely seen hundreds of social memes under the concept of how it started, how it's going. The basic concept of which is to show the passage of time through oppositional photos. Mr. Plato laid out some exhibits that presented a stark change over time. So let's look at it through this lens, how it started. In 2012, as part of the Viking Stadium funding push, electronic pull tabs were introduced as a way to bring pull tab gaming into the 21st century and raise stadium funds. Our organization warned of the massive expansion of gambling this could present, as this was a new form of gambling, not introduced in any other state. We were assured that it was the legislature's intent to simply provide an electronic form of paper pull tabs. They wouldn't resemble slot machines and in no way could confuse the machines with slots and bars, which would have presented one of the largest expansions of gambling in our state's history. And at first, they were simply that, electronic paper pull tabs. Now, fast forward to the how it's going. This can be summed up from a recent advertisement sent out from a Minnesota bar, which states, "We have recently added electronic pull tabs, which feels a little like playing slots at the casino, a little like playing slots at the casino." From viewing the current version, which Mr. Plato showed, I can firmly state that the bar owner was underselling the machines. They feel almost exactly like playing slots at the casino. With it, we are witnessing one of the largest expansions of gambling in our state, the negative repercussions of which are sure to follow. And just yesterday, the Angela Davis Show on NPR News focused on gambling addiction and the rising proliferation of gambling amongst Minnesota's youth. Amidst a lot of concerning data, there was one number that I found very troubling. On the 2019 Minnesota Student Survey, 10,000 high school students
indicated problematic gambling. This was highlighted on the show as Susan Sheridan Tucker, the executive director of North Star Problem Gambling Alliance, noted that the earlier you are exposed to gambling, the greater likelihood you will have an issue as an adult.
And many of these high school students are getting exposed by friends and family. What is important to note
about that discussion
is that electronic pull tabs are not limited to age-restricted areas. They are readily available in areas and other young adults can dine. We are very concerned with this, and we ask that this committee pass this bill and bring the legislation back into the intent of the 2012 bill. Thank you so much.
Next, we have Tracy Wiegand. If you could introduce yourself and proceed with your testimony.
Yes, hello, thank you. Thank you, Chair Stevenson and members of the committee. My name is Tracy Wiegand. I'm the president of the Electronic Gaming Group of Minnesota, and I also serve as the gambling manager of the competition chair, Spirit Booster Club, located in Coon Rapids. EGG is a Minnesota nonprofit trade association founded to advocate for charities who conduct electronic gaming in Minnesota. Competition Cheer offers youth cheer athletics in Coon Rapids, and we recently moved into a new facility made possible by our charitable e-gaming endeavors. Electronic gaming has allowed charities an additional option to help raise much needed funding of our missions. We must guard against any changes that would reduce funding for our community-based organizations and their important missions. EGG is opposed to HF 2366. We believe this proposed legislation alters the language originally agreed to by the parties in the original legislation. To modify it now would break the agreement between the tribal gaming interests and charitable gaming organizations from across the state. The issue we are facing has already been litigated twice before an administrative law judge at the Office of Administrative Hearings. In both cases, the administrative law judge disagreed with the contentions of the tribal gaming interests and expressly ruled in favor of the Gambling Control Board, upholding the contested regulations in both cases, which the Attorney General's office was representing Gambling Control Board. So the state of Minnesota Attorney General's office was involved. We believe, and the administrative law judge agreed, that the Gambling Control Board's rules adhere to the original statute. If tribal interests feel so strongly about this issue, they should be pursuing this in the courts, not the legislature. They had far from exhausted their legal remedies. HF 2366 will place charities across the state and in all legislative districts at a competitive disadvantage to one of our major competitors. Electronic gaming in Minnesota is stable, running smoothly, and is profitable for charities. We believe that if the changes to the statutory language are adopted, it will have an extremely detrimental effect on lawful gambling receipts that will then affect charities, veterans clubs, youth groups, bars, and the bond funding of the U.S. Bank Stadium, and the state's general fund, thus impacting every Minnesotan. Thank you, Mr. Chairman, for your time today, and we look forward to working with you and the members of your committee in the future to answer any questions that you might have.
Thank you, Ms. Wiegand. Next, John Weaver, if you could identify yourself and proceed with your testimony, please.
Yeah, sure. My name is John Weaver. I'm the founder and president of Pilot Games. Pilot Games has been operating in Minnesota since August of 2014. Our games are hosted by local charities at around 1,400 sites in Minnesota. Before that time, I was actually the owner of a Minnesota licensed distributorship. We were the first distributor of electronic pull tabs in the state. So we've been around since 2012. We have a lot of history. We have a lot of knowledge of this product. I know a lot about the Minnesota charity player. I know what games they like, what they don't like, and I specifically know what's permissible under statute and rule. I've obtained approvals for over 100 games. Regardless of the effective date of this bill, the restrictions in HF 2366 will not be interesting to players. As a result, electronic charitable games will be unremarkable and unmarketable, which frankly is the goal of the bill. If the changes in 2366 are adopted, electronic sales will become non-existent, wiped out. Every game in Pilot's game library would be incompatible with the restrictions imposed by the bill. But don't take my word for it. The fiscal notes for this bill read, and I quote, all existing electronic pull tab and bingo games will be prohibited under the proposed language. Therefore, all revenue, $1.66 billion, will be eliminated on those games. Besides the devastating impact to charities, bars, and other state and local taxing authorities, what happens to the stadium fund? Before this bill was introduced, there was much discussion about the fate of the excess revenues in the stadium reserve fund. No longer. Referring back to the fiscal notes, if adopted, the proposed language will eliminate the majority of available funds to transfer to the stadium reserves account, end quote. When the sales of electronics become zero, the annual excess directed to the stadium fund drops significantly and the fund is drained very quickly. So long to the $230 million surplus the stadium reserve fund had projected in 2023 by MMB. The average Minnesotan would be prudent to ask, why does this need to happen? Why did charities and bars who have been hit so terribly by COVID?
Mr. Weaver, if you can wrap up, please.
Okay.
Thank you.
The arguments that we've heard today from the tribes are that we've heard them before in front of OAH, right? And they've been ruled against twice. These games are the same games in 2012 that they are in 2021. I know them. I design them. They're the same thing. There is no change. There has been no evolution. It's the same.
Thank you for your testimony. Next, we have Ann Krisnick. If you could introduce yourself and proceed with your testimony, please.
Good morning, Madam Chair and Vice Chair, members of the committee. I'm Ann Krisnick with the Joint Religious Legislative Coalition, testifying in support of House File 2366. In our churches, synagogues, mosques, we see the impact of problem gambling on families, on individuals, in terms of increased debt and job loss and a number of other challenges. And I want to be clear, we're not testifying in opposition to charitable gambling, but really have concerns about gambling that's really structured in a way that makes it feel like a video game or a slot machine. And we're particularly concerned really want to focus on younger Minnesotans. We know that they've grown up with video games as entertainment, where they see bonus round or free play. We know that young people are at an increased risk of problem gambling as opposed to older Minnesotans. We know that 1 in 5 problem gamblers will attempt suicide, a rate which is much higher than any other addiction. And so we really have concerns about electronic games that are specifically designed to look like a bingo game, to look like a video game. They certainly may be more fun, but they're far more addictive and they're more likely to encourage people to be spending money that they otherwise might not have spent. There are almost 1,500 locations across the state where these games are available. I want to thank the authors for bringing the bill and just want to share our concern about the way that the games have really played out and appreciate the opportunity to testify. Thank you.
Thank you for your testimony, Ms. Krisnick. Finally, we have Al Lund. If you could introduce yourself and proceed with your testimony, please.
Thank you, Madam Chair. My name is Alan Lund. I'm the Executive Director of Allied Charities of Minnesota. Allied Charities is a 501c6 trade association that represents licensed gambling charities in Minnesota. Thank you for the time today. I'm here today to speak in opposition of House File 2366. If passed, the bill would negatively impact our ability to serve, although to what degree is not known. I was on the ACM board when electronics were passed in 2012, and soon after that became the executive director. Playing electronics is a different experience than playing paper pull tabs. To my knowledge, there has been no research into whether the increasing acceptance of electronics is due to the form or the games themselves. For me personally, electronics have been a bit of a love-hate relationship. The St. Michael American Legion, where I at one time was the gambling manager, was one of the first sites in the state to get electronics back in December of 2012, and they still have them today. There is less oversight involved with managing electronics than paper games, but the charity makes less on electronics than we do on paper. Overall, we are the number 2 beneficiary behind the state in total charitable gambling, but in electronics, we are number 3 behind the state and the manufacturer. I have struggled with the charity not being the number 1 beneficiary of charitable gambling, yet I am bemused when those that profit from charities find it hard to understand that I hold that belief. In part, the bill would eliminate bonus games or bonus features in an electronic pull tab game. Bonus features have been central to paper pull tab games in Minnesota since the 1980s and continue to be played today. A bonus feature in a paper pull tab game involves the use of a seal card. A seal card is a placard that accompanies a deal of pull tabs and contains one or more seals that, when opened, reveal a prize. Players qualify for the opportunity to compete for a seal prize by opening a pull tab that directs them to the seal card. The player might have the opportunity to pick the seal card themselves or a designated card. No seal card prize may exceed the prize limits imposed by the state. The seal card simply extends the play of the game for the predetermined and limited number of players in the deal who have tickets that qualify them for the seal round. The bill says that electronic pull tabs must replicate paper pull tab games. This bill eliminates the electronic replication of an entire style of paper pull tab games. Bonus features in e-tabs replicate seal card games and allow players to advance to a bonus screen, just like the players advance to a paper seal card. Electronic pull tabs offer more entertaining graphics than a paper seal card, but the result is the same. In fiscal 2020, charities netted $14 million from electronic gaming for mission and community.
Mr. Lund, if you could wrap up, please.
I will do that. The charities have had no part in designing or approving e-games since they were approved in 2012. I have never believed that the intent of the bill was to harm charities, but with no provisions in the bill, such as tax relief, to help charities mitigate any revenue loss, hurting charities will be a consequence of the bill. Allied Charities urges the GCB and tribal representatives to work together to find a mutually satisfactory solution to the issues at hand without legislation. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, everyone, for your testimony today. We will move into a member discussion. Mr. Chair, I see you have your hand raised.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I do want to address a couple points, and I have a couple questions. I have to say that I was disappointed, is maybe the word I would use, to hear testimony as to the contents of a fiscal note from a member of the public. Particularly because, and I just checked the Legislative Budget Office website, there's no publicly released fiscal note on this bill. And that's for good reason. The bill just obtained a significant amendment that I think materially changes the bill. And I also think that the fiscal note that was referenced contains some very questionable assumptions that we are still discussing with the Legislative Budget Office and with the agency. And so it's disappointing to me that note that is not yet public was brought into discussion today. But I do want to address some of the issues that were raised related to that. In particular, it was noted that the fiscal note suggests that the game would wipe out all e-pull tab revenue. And I had a question for Mr. Lund, who, as he noted, has been involved with this issue since the very beginning. My question for Mr. Lund would be that if this bill were enacted, do you believe that there would be still electronic pull tab gaming? Do you think that the developers would adapt and submit new models under these more clarified rules? Or do you think that it would completely eliminate e-pull tab gaming revenue?
Mr. Lund.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Representative, I do not think it would eliminate electronic gambling. Would it change it? Yes, it would. To what degree, we have no way of knowing. I hearken back to 2012 when the projections were that electronics would deliver $75 million a year in taxes, and today it's still not doing that. Would they revamp their games? Yes, they would. They would come back. Again, to what degree, I cannot tell you, nor can anyone else.
Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you, Mr. Lund. And I agree with you 100%. I agree that it would not wipe out e-pull tab revenue altogether, and I agree that it would change things and that it's hard, if not impossible, to quantify how it would change things. I agree with everything you said there, and that's part of the reason why I think the fiscal note still needs some work. I will say for the members of this committee, as to the fiscal note, it did not show any cost to any budget that is under our purview. There was no cost demonstrated to the Department of Commerce. The cost was entirely to an agency that is not within our jurisdiction. And I'm sure that if the revised note continues to show a cost to the agency, that it will be addressed in the committee that has appropriate jurisdiction over it. But I don't agree with that premise that there would be no electronic poll tabs under this bill. I don't think that that's a defensible premise. I also wanted to, several testifiers made reference to some litigation that occurred before an ALJ, and I understand that we have in the committee someone who actually litigated that, who was a party to that litigation, and could maybe explain to the committee what happened there, because it's my understanding that that the litigation wasn't actually to the merits of what this bill seeks to address, but had to do with some process issues. I understand Mr. Philip Brodeen is on the call and could maybe answer some questions about that.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Brodeen, if you could introduce yourself and proceed.
Bonjour, Guinoa. Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the Commerce, Finance, and Policy Committee. My name is Phil Brodeen. I am a proud member of the Boys Fort Band of Chippewa and an attorney that does legal work for Indian tribes here in Minnesota, principally the Shakopee, Mdewakanton, and Sioux community. In the spring of 2019, the SMSC was a participant in the formal rulemaking process regarding the Gambling Control Board's rules related to charitable gaming. The community raised a variety of objections through that formal rulemaking process. In the end, the ALJ noted, while denying or rejecting the community's objections, that in the absence of specific statutory authority, an agency is entitled to make choices between differing regulatory approaches. The ALJ did not consider what was the best approach, but whether the approach taken by the Gambling Control Board was permissible and reasonable. Ultimately, they ruled that the proposed rule changes were reasonable and the procedural requirements were met. They did not reach the merits of whether these games, whether specific games were legal or whether the existence of such games runs counter to the legislature's intent in 2012. Again, in December of 2019, the community sought a declaration from the state's Office of Administrative Hearings. And that case was related specifically to whether electronic pull tab games could include open all features. The SMSC argued that the board was enforcing an unadopted rule. The ALJ found otherwise. Ultimately, they ruled that the board did not engage in unlawful rulemaking, but instead conducted a case-by-case analysis. The ruling was based on a highly technical reading of the statute and limited to the issue of whether open all features were permissible under the requirements. That's kind of a synopsis of those two litigations. Once again, they didn't go to the legality or whether the actual games that are approved now run contrary to the legislative deal. One thing to note is that I'm the grandson of the chair for Boys Fort that signed the gaming compacts back in the early 90s. One thing he made clear to me is that a deal is a deal, and it's important to uphold your end of the bargain as well as hold others to that same bargaining process. With that, that's all I have to add, Miigwech.
Thank you, Mr. Brodeen. Chair Stevenson.
Well, thank you, Mr. Brodeen. Couldn't agree more. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Good. Representative Haley.
Thank you, Madam Chair and Chair Stevenson for bringing the bill forward. And I, in particular, I appreciate working with you on this and your openness to the amendment, which extends the effective date. I think that's a very important piece of this. And I first want to comment to Mr. Chesick and Mr. Jennings, the restaurant owner, and tell you that how much support you've had from our caucus. And I personally have been involved in the business relief grant funds and bills that we have passed over the past year to support the recovery and have advocated for your full reopening. So I appreciate your concerns, and we will continue to advocate for your recovery and reopening. But I am in support of this bill. Going back to what Chair Stevenson said, and also the representative from MIGA, a deal is a deal. And the challenge we have here, I think, is that the administration of the Gambling Control Board has allowed these games to evolve beyond what the original intent of the law in 2012 stated. So I want to reiterate that the tribe's support of the original 2012 law was under the condition that these games would not turn into casino-like games, right? If we go back to those three key provisions that were stated at the start of this testimony, the first was that the electronic pull tab games would be facsimiles of pull tab tickets. The second was that they would be opened like their paper counterparts, okay? They would be have to be opened line by line and row or column on each electronic pull tab ticket. And the third is that they would, the provision, the third provision would prevent the games from including representations that would mimic a video slot machine. So as these games have evolved over time, those three provisions are not being applied. That's what brings us to this position today, that the Gaming Control Board has asked the legislature to weigh in on this. So that's a separate discussion we need to resolve. But that is what brings us here today, is upholding the intent of the 2012 law, and in doing so, mitigating the impact on charities and on restaurants and bars that have these games. I'm hopeful that we can do that, and that we can continue to work with all the stakeholders, as everybody has an important outcome and an important position in this discussion today. So thank you, Chair Stevenson, and I look forward to continuing to work on this with you.
Thank you, Representative Haley. Next we have Representative Lucero.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. And I don't know who to direct this question to, anybody who might be able to answer. And if I missed what I'm about to ask in any of the testimonies, I apologize for the repetition in my question. And that is, as I was listening to the testimony, I vaguely recall a headline a couple of years ago, I didn't know exactly when it was, that there was an inflection point in terms of the amount of revenue that the e-poll tabs was bringing in. And I did do a quick look up here. It looks like the headline was from roughly 2018. But then in the Star Tribune article I'm looking at, it just has a graph of a slow start for the first several years. And for the first 3 years, it was relatively flat, and then it really ramped up the 2016, 17, and 18 at the time of this article. So my question is, what in the development of, or I should say maybe the evolution of the graphical user interface and the way that players would interact with the games, with the evolution of that, is that commensurate with the uptick in the amount of revenue that was created, whereby the first couple of years it remained flat? That's commensurate with the original user interface. Again, I'm just trying to pull some of my memory together with some of the data. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Lucero. I think we will go to Mr. Plato for that question. Please go ahead.
Thank you, Madam Chair and Representative Lucero. That's a great question. And from the tribal gaming operator perspective, we would say that the games became far more popular when the slot features entered the market. And that's when our concerns really began. We've twice tried to litigate this issue in front of the administrative law judge, as Mr. Brodin suggested. We have worked diligently with the Gambling Control Board, and all of those have failed to return these games to what was agreed upon in 2012. And that's why we're here in front of this committee. Thank you.
Representative Lucero, follow up.
That's all I have. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Muted myself. Representative Elkins, you're next.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I think this question is for Mr. Lund. In the ACM's written testimony, there was a reference to something called an auto close feature. And I suspect that I know what that means, but I'd rather not speculate. And I was wondering if Mr. Lund could explain what the auto close feature does.
Mr. Lund.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you, Representative. And Mr. Weaver could address this probably better than I, but what my understanding of the that'll close feature is that the charity has given permission for the manufacturer to automatically close games when certain criteria are met. Typically, like when so many of the larger prizes are gone, a new game will be loaded. The gambling manager still has the opportunity to go in and manually review all the games and to close them, but the auto close feature that it's done for you through the manufacturer.
In your letter, it suggests that changes. Thank you, Madam Chair. Sorry, it suggests that changes the actual realized payout as opposed to changes it from what the advertised payout would be.
Mr. Lund.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Representative, so the experience that I have with that is with my Lions group, and my Lions group is on the auto close feature. And we had an incident in January of 2021 when our payout on electronics was 92% and we're on auto close. Now, to be clear, so the state says you can't have games that offer more than 85% payout. To be clear, you can have more than that on paper games as well. It depends on how the game plays out, when you decide to pull it. So there is some arbitrary things there. But in January for my Lions group, the payout was 92% using the auto close feature.
Okay, it's basically. So thank you, Madam Chair. Basically, you confirmed that it is what I think it is. So thank you very much.
Thank you. All right, members. Oh, here we go. Representative O'Driscoll.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'm not sure if there's other testifiers or other committee questions today, but. I think I may be the last one today. And so what I'd like to do is just kind of wrap up as someone who shares a kind of a unique distinction with two other members on the Commerce Committee right now. And those two other members would be Representative Lilly and Representative Dabney. It was the three of us who were actually here in 2011 and 2012 during the stadium discussion. Since that time, everyone who sits on this committee has been elected post-stadium and post the implementation of this bill. It truly was the intention of the legislature to find an alternative source to be able to fund what at that time was a very important Minnesota asset as perceived by the legislature, at least the majority of the members of the legislature, as well as the sports consuming public here in the state of Minnesota, and that was the Minnesota Vikings. The Will family had suggested that they would move that ball club out of Minnesota. Minnesota wanted to keep it to be able to be among the very elite communities that had an NFL team. And a deal was struck, and that deal went into place about 10 years ago. And as a result of that, and I want to thank Chair Stevenson, because I think that his comments are spot on when he said, the dilemma that brings us today to the committee, in my words, in summarizing his comments, the dilemma that has brought us to this committee today is clearly not at the making of the bar owners, the restaurant owners here in the state of Minnesota. And I would also add is clearly not at the making of the tribes who are part of this agreement as well. I think there's enough innocent parties around the table here today that are simply looking for a solution to a problem that they did not create. And each have certain priorities and certain understandings about what's going on. And I actually think that this is an interesting situation where today, if members vote for this bill, they are sending a message to a very important message, I should say, to our agencies here in the state of Minnesota as the Gaming Control Board. For 10 years, this has been a situation that has not been brought forward to the legislature. And now in some very unpleasant times, I'll use that term, we are being asked to deal with one more thing that is affecting a lot of businesses, and the businesses that the tribes run, and the businesses that are run through the charitable gaming and the work that they do in the communities, as well as the bars and restaurants on here. And it's also difficult to have this conversation without raising some of the other sides of the coin issues on this. The charitable gaming in the state of Minnesota is probably the highest per capita taxed entity here in the state of Minnesota. They do not get taxed on their net revenues. They get taxed on their gross receipts. No deductions, no payroll deductions, no cost of investment deductions. Take the number you've brought in revenue times the tax rate, please forward to the Minnesota Department of Revenue within the time frames as specified in law. If we are going to address this issue, we need to address this issue in its entirety. Because as was suggested, this is a very delicate ecosystem. And what by moving the lever in one area and not addressing the tax relief necessary for the charitable gaming, we'll find ourselves right back here again. I know that charitable gaming has been signaling to us for many years that this is a challenge. This is maybe a 1-2 punch for them. When I say it's kind of a unique situation where you can vote yes to tell the gaming control folks that they missed the spot on here, by voting yes on the bill, voting no also sends a message. You should have been and should be enforcing the law to the extent that the law was originally written here. So, Madam Chair, I will not be voting for the bill today. I will be one of those who is going to say that we need to address the bigger issue by voting no. I would encourage members, again, to strongly suggest that regardless of how you vote on this today, realize that this is not the only problem that is facing charitable gaming in the state of Minnesota. Madam Chair, thank you for the extra time to be able to address the committee. I think those are some important points that surround this from someone who's been around the committee for a number of years and this issue. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Representative O'Driscoll. Chair Stevenson?
Yeah, and Madam Chair, I guess I'll be brief in my closing remarks here. I do know that I need to change my motion. I ask that the committee refer the bill to rules. I've been informed that the correct motion is to re-refer to ways and means, but that because we are after deadline, the Rules Committee will intercept the bill at the desk. So that's the reason for that change. So I would move that the bill be re-referred to Ways and Means. You know, members, we had a great discussion today, and I'm really thankful for it. I just want to say in close that this bill isn't really about e-poll tabs. It's not about gaming. It's not about a lot of other issues. Really what this bill is about trust. It's about, are we going to keep our word? It's about, is a deal a deal? If you think that we should keep our word, if you think that we should honor the deals that we make, then I ask you to vote yes. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Chair Stevenson. So Chair Stevenson renews his motion that House File 2366 be recommended to be referred to the Committee on Ways and Means, and the clerk will take the roll.
Chair Stevenson.
Aye.
Vice Chair Katiza-Watoon.
Aye.
Representative O'Driscoll.
No.
Representative Barr.
No.
Representative Carlson.
Carlson, aye.
Representative Dabney.
Aye.
Representative Elkins.
Aye.
Representative Haley.
Aye.
Representative Cagle.
Aye.
Representative Lee.
Lee, aye.
Representative Lilly.
Lilly, aye.
Representative Lislegard, excused. Representative Lucero.
No.
Representative Olson.
Aye.
Representative Farr.
No.
Representative Rasmussen.
Rasmussen, aye.
Representative Richardson.
Aye.
Representative Tice.
No.
There being 12 ayes and 5 nays, the motion prevails, and House File 2366 is recommended to be referred to the Committee on Ways and Means. And I will now hand the virtual gavel back to Chair Stevenson for any closing remarks.
Well, thank you, Madam Chair. My only closing remark is that I really appreciate the excellent job that you did today. I hope and expect that this is the last time that this committee will meet for a while, because we all have a lot of work to do in other places. So thank you very much, committee members, and we are adjourned.